evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to the good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to the Thursday, April 19th, 2018 City of Columbia Planning and Zoning Commission regular meeting. May we have a roll call, Ms. Secretary?
Yes, I am here. Ms. Lowe?
Here.
Mr. Harder?
Here.
Mr. McMahon?
Present.
Mr. Stanton?
Here.
Mr. Strodeman?
Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Rushing?
Here.
Ms. Russell?
Here.
Mr. Tuohy? We have eight. We have a quorum.
Thank you, Mrs. Burns. Mr. Zinner, any changes to our agenda?
No, there are not, sir.
Thank you, sir. Approval of minutes. Commissioners, April 5th, 2018, minutes was sent to us earlier. Any corrections or notations needed to those minutes? I see none. Thumbs up. Looks like it's unanimous. Thank you. First item of the evening is a subdivision item. At this time, I would ask any commissioner who has had any ex parte communications prior to this meeting related to case 18-94, please disclose that now so all commissioners have the same information to consider on behalf of this case in front of us. Yes, Mr.
Not related.
Mr. McMahon?
This is just a point. I'm getting a lot of reverb back over here. Can you guys hear us okay? All right, fine. It's really bouncing back at me. Sorry to interrupt, please.
No, you're fine. Case 18-94, request by Crockett Engineering Consultants on behalf of the Robert G. Craig Trust for approval of a finer minor plat to be known as Craig Point, plat number one. The 0.23-acre subject property is zoned RMF, which is the city's multiple family dwelling zoning, and is addressed 1022 South College Avenue. May we have a staff report, please?
Yes, you may, sir. As we've pointed out, property is located here on South College Avenue, directly across from College or Hospital Drive, which is the east entrance into the MU Medical Complex and the parking structures. 0.23 acres, we're looking at approval of a final plat with an adjustment to the right of way along College Avenue. We did provide public information on this. We had a public info meeting on the 27th of March. Six postcards were mailed to the adjacent property owners. And just so we're all clear here, as you look at this graphic and you look at graphics that will follow, the Quonset hut that appears to be over the property line does not encroach onto the subject tract of land. It's just the nature of how the aerial photography was taken. So the two Quonset huts that are actually on the subject site have been removed. Here is the oblique aerial for this particular property before the Quonset huts were removed. Again, the intersection configuration, the existing driveway location to the Quonset huts is right here, and that is to remain as a part of the redeveloped site. Actually, this one will go away, and I believe the one under the trees will remain. So we have the existing structures, as I've been referring to. They were removed in 2007 through an appropriate demolition permit authorization. The property is being proposed to be replatted since it is it's a non-legal lot in accordance to our definitions within our code. It has never been formally platted previously, so it does need to be platted into a single development parcel, and it is going to be developed with a single duplex, which would have, obviously, as a duplex, two units, one on either side, and a total of, if I recall correctly, four or six bedrooms and enough parking to support that accordingly. There has been, through the course of time, enough right-of-way obtained for College Avenue, and they are dedicating, with this particular project, the required 10-foot utility easements along the college frontage. Access is going to remain from Hospital Drive, College College Drive intersection, which is controlled right there at the traffic signal. MoDOT has responded that they did not have an issue with that existing encroachment and access point to be maintained, and they were not necessarily interested in redesigning the intersection to accommodate the platted lot and its improved state after this plat would be approved. It does meet all of our required UDC requirements. We've gone through the comprehensive review of it. There is no design adjustment. Why we had one noted in the discussion topic, I'm not sure. As you can tell, this is not my case. I'm filling in and punting tonight for Ms. Bacon. But it does meet all of our other requirements. I believe we may have had a design adjustment early on, thinking that we were going to have an encroachment on one of the side yard setback-related matters. And we are recommending approval of the plat as it stands. This will, again, allow this parcel to become a legal lot, which is necessary in order to obtain a building permit. If you have any questions, I will be more than happy to attempt to answer them for you. If I can't, Mr. Crockett is here representing the actual applicant and the engineering firm that's prepared the plat.
Thank you, Mr. Zinner. Commissioners, any questions of staff? Ms. Lowe.
Mine's just curiosity. How many unplatted plots are there in the city?
I have never gone and actually looked to find out what lots exist that are not considered legal, a legal lot. And this is, unfortunately, this is a part of, if I recall correctly, this may be a part of two lots, which the way that our code reads, development needs to be consolidated onto a single parcel. My recollection also, however, with this parcel has never been actually formally platted. It may have existed as a deeded lot, but never formally platted. And this particular action will formally plat the lot itself, which is required in order to have the building permit issued on it. And it also allows us then, of course, to obtain our necessary rights of way for utilities that we need as well.
Thank you.
Mr. McMahon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Lowe, to partially answer your question, this was federal property at one time, or at least utilized by the federal government during World War II. And it was with property across the street. And I know that older properties sometimes don't have functional plats.
That explain the Quonset huts?
That does explain the plat. And there was a chicken farm and a National Weather Service observatory across the street. Just FYI to fill that in. Thank you. Mr. Zinner, I do have a couple questions. This property's curb cut is right at the light. Will it be a right only? How are we going to get in and out of there?
Well, as the controlled intersection, and I'll let Mr. Crockett probably refer to this, it is actually south of the curb drop is south of the actual light itself at the intersection.
Mm-hmm.
The plat, if I recall correctly, however, has the driveway. And Tim may have the copy of the site plan for it that's been submitted. I'm thinking that the driveway may be being relocated there.
So we might
can't see what you can't see.
There's
one here, which is just north. It's across from the intersection, and this is the driveway location that is going to be maintained as it comes into the site. This down here may have been a. It looks as though it was a little bit of a parking area that is being abandoned as a part of the actual.
The right of
development. It's in the right of way as it is existing today. This will not be being used for parking. The driveway location per the site plan is here, and it does come into a parking area, parking lot that is in front of the building, and then the building will sit in this back area. Being in the in between the signals and being directly across, just offset from the center line of Hospital Drive. It's functioned this way, and it will continue to function that way. So the controls of the intersection are going to allow it to be a full access, as it has been. Now, the parking area, and Mr. Crockett, again, may have a site plan that we can share with you. The parking area itself does have adequate maneuvering room on site in order for a vehicle to, if I recall correctly, to maneuver and get back out.
To turn around and go straight out.
Straight out instead of having to back out on.
Right. I'll ask Mr. Crockett about ingress and egress. I do have one other question. I'm a little bit familiar with this property, and I understand the aerial gives us a kind of an odd view. The current back line or the east line of the property is the top of a hill that a fill that runs downhill to the next property. The property line to the south, is that anywhere close to where it actually is? That also drops off quite a bit to the property to the south.
Based upon what our mapping software selects, mm-hmm. those parcel boundaries are correct. The aerial photography, as the buildings are actually inlaid into that, may be a little bit wonky. but the boundary is correct.
It looked a little wonky to me, and I thank you, and I appreciate that technical description.
That's the technical term for
wonky.
We'll have.
It shall be noted it is wonky. Thank you for your answers, Mr. Center. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Commissioners, additional questions of staff? I see none. As is in past practices, this is a subdivision hearing, but if there's anyone in the audience that would like to come forward and give us any relevant information that's acceptable, we just ask for your name and address.
Members of the Commission, Tim Crockett, 1000 West Snifong. To answer your question, Mr. McMahon, yes, the access that's out there currently, as Mr. Zinner has indicated, is basically a pull-in parking area right off of College. And so the vehicles pull in, they have to back out onto College. That is all being abandoned. We worked with MoDOT to get adequate access to the north side of the property. It's going to come in at basically a fourth leg of that intersection that would come in. The vehicles have parking stalls in which they can pull 90 degrees into, and then they back out. So everybody who is leaving the site is, you know, basically going in a fourth
They'll be
direction.
Lighted in and lighted out then.
I believe that's correct. There is a fourth leg to that intersection, I believe. So. With that, I have no formal presentation. I didn't bring the site plan as Pat has indicated. I'm happy to answer any questions that the commission may have.
Commissioners, any questions of the speaker? Mr. McMahon.
Thank you, sir. Stormwater drainage, this looks like it's filled to me.
This is a redevelopment, less than 1 acre, with not being located in downstream.
I'm intensely concerned, I will withdraw my question.
Okay. It's in conformance with the stormwater regulations, put it that way.
Any additional questions, commissioners? I see none. Thank you, Mr. Crockett.
Thank you.
Anyone else like to come forward that's in the audience this evening? I see none. Commissioners, any questions, additional comments? Mr. Stanton?
I would like to entertain a motion.
We will entertain that motion.
As it relates to case 18-79, Riddick Subdivision, Plat 1, final plat, I move to approve.
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Stanton, for that motion. And Ms. Russell for the second. Commissioners, we have a motion on the properly seconded. Is there any questions on this motion? I see none. Ms. Secretary, when you're ready for a roll call.
Yes. My vote is yes. Ms. Lowe.
Yes.
Mr. Harder.
Yes.
Mr. McMahon.
Yes.
Mr. Stanton.
Yes.
Mr. Strodeman.
Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Rushing.
Yes.
Ms. Russell.
Yes.
8-0, motion carries.
Thank you, Mrs. Burns. Moving on to our first public hearing of the evening.
Rotman, before you move on, just for the purposes of correcting the public record, it is not Riddick Subdivision. It is actually Crick Point, plat number 1. The title on the slide is incorrect, but what is produced and advertised on the agenda was. That doesn't do anything to your vote. It's still approved, 8-0.
Thank you. Moving, first public hearing of the evening, case 18-91. At this time, I would ask any commissioner who has had any ex parte communications prior to this meeting related to case 18-91, please disclose that now so all commissioners have the same information to consider on behalf of this case in front of us. I see none. Case 18-91, a request by Graham Engineering on behalf of HG LLC seeking approval to rezone their 10.8-acre property located at the current terminus of Gin Lane at Gin Hill Drive from PD, which is the city's planned district, to the MOF, which is the city's mixed-use office district zoning. The owner intends to divide the property and develop Lot 1 with a residential care facility. A preliminary plat of the property, case 18-90, is being considered concurrently with this rezoning. Can we have a staff report, please?
Yes, you may. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you stated, the applicant's seeking a rezoning of their property. It's located on the north side of Highway 63 at the east end of Jenny Lane. They're asking for the rezoning from PD to MOF. The rezoning is to facilitate the development of a portion of the property with a small residential care facility. The existing development plan, the AHJOP development plan, includes a larger facility that encumbers the entire parcel. However, the property is being divided by its owners, and therefore the existing development plan will become void. Let's see, sorry, I skipped the public notice section. I always forget that for some reason, but There was a public info meeting on this case on March 27th. 11 postcards were mailed. There was also published notice in the paper on April 3rd. And also, again, the property owner notice was mailed to the same 11 folks on the 29th. So moving on here, let's see. So the existing development plan was approved in August of 2004 when the property was rezoned from A1 to OP, which was planned office district at the time. The plan included the entire parcel and depicted five office buildings, which were limited in use to business and professional offices. So while a residential care facility is a departure from the original intent, the proposed use and MOF zoning are comparable. The exception being that this rezoning would allow single and multifamily development, as well as a number of community service uses on the property. As you can see, the property is isolated from other uses except on its north side, with Highway 63 along the southwest property boundary and the abandoned Colt Railroad to the southeast. The property to the north contains Jenny Hill Townhomes, which is an 88-unit duplex development zoned R2. Office uses are transitional and are typically compatible with residential zoning. So the proposed use is believed to be appropriate to the location, and additional use options presented by the proposed zoning would not negatively affect contextual properties. So staff believes the rezoning is in keeping with the intent of the 2004 rezoning and supports it for approval. So here's just some background information I've touched on already, but this is the original OP plan. Depicts the five office buildings there. This is the plat, so we don't have an actual site plan at this point just yet, but this plat shows you kind of how the site is being divided, and lot one is the smaller lot here closer to the west side that will be developed with the residential care facility. I believe I've touched on all of these, but we do recommend approval, so I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Palmer. Commissioners, any questions from staff? Mr. McMahon.
Thank you, sir. Just one quick follow-up. You mentioned the public notification. Did you get any public feedback? And if so, what was it?
I received none.
All right. Thank you.
Ms. Lowe.
We've discussed what the use will be on the smaller parcel, but are we also looking at rezoning the larger parcel to?
The entire parcel is to be rezoned, but at this point, the lot one is the only one we have a proposed use for.
And the access is directly where it meets.
Where it meets Jenny Hill.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be the access.
And access, we'll get to this later, but access to lot two is via the stem along the north edge there.
Right, there are just issues because it doesn't look like there would be a second exit available off of that.
That is true. It is completely surrounded by unaccessible property except to the north, which is already developed out, and there's no way to connect to that. So the site is limited to that one location of ingress and egress, unfortunately.
That limitation, Ms. Rushing, will also have an impact as to the development intensity of the property. What you see here on the southern, this boundary here is the old Colt Railroad right-of-way, which has been relocated to this location in the new overpass. So the cul-de-sac that is here that would access lot one, and then the stem is going to restrict the balance of the property from its, if it were to be developed residentially, to a maximum of 30 units. The stem has been designed, and Rusty will get into this in case 1890, which is the platting action, as to how that stem conforms with our other requirements for the purposes of having access, and why staff's recommendation to the applicant as we went through the review process, it was made to recommend the creation of the stem lot not an extension of the public street. Extension of the public street wouldn't have provided any additional access anyways. So even if we did a loop, we have no way of getting out to Paris Road from the backside of this property to provide through access.
And the property to the north.
Yes.
It has a stub. But are there any plans to build a second access?
This street right here?
No, the stub is kind of right in the...
Oh, you're talking right in here.
Uh-huh.
Gent Hill Court, where it's coming up into this parcel here.
Right.
At this point, we are unaware that there is any development that has been proposed for that acreage tract. Again, it's a linear... That's a linear parcel, and I would imagine double stack... single road in and probably lots on either side of it, but I can't tell from this area.
It's a mess. Width.
Yeah, it is. And based upon what our standard requirements for the development would have required is a stub to undeveloped property to the north, where the R2 label is. That is why that connection is there, but not sure if that would ever yield an actual connection, or if there's an intention of taking the existing improvement that's on that northern lot north of the residential subdivision and redeveloping. We just don't have anything at this point.
Any additional questions of staff? Mr. Zinner, just for clarification, you said that 30 units would be allowable to be built on that second parcel?
As Mr. Palmer pointed out, the MOF does allow a residential component. So
correct.
It could be single, two-family. It could be multifamily up to a maximum of 30 units off of the single point.
Okay.
Access. As an office development, circulation and square footage would drive how much intensity of an office use would be allowed on the property per the fire code.
Mm-hmm.
As Rusty indicated also, the plan district, which currently restricts it really to an office project, and the MOF are very comparable. One has a plan, obviously, and one does not. And that's where probably the major difference in the zoning side of this exists. But the land uses really would be highly compatible with each other in either direction, office use, residential care facility, or even the residential use on the balance of the remaining acreage that's not being developed.
Gotcha.
And as is typically the case, just real quick, the fire department representative has already pointed out that a turnaround or a loop road would have to be developed or a loop drive access for that second lot whenever it is built out.
Last question, you may not know it. Who owns it? The Colt property, I assume, is owned by the city or by the
MoDOT.
Colt?
Part of it's owned by MoDOT and part of, I believe maybe it is all owned by the city now. I can't.
I believe it is. And the rail line, Colt, which is a division of the city, owned the rail line, if I am understanding correctly. And then the portion that is here, it's got the A on it, I believe was MoDOT property. Which has been recently, I think, conveyed to the city. That was something as we were going through the review process on this particular project that was brought to our attention by our Public Works review staff.
Maybe it's an opportunity for the city to sell it to this landowner and combine them. And
that is possible.
It,
however, still probably would not address Ms. Rushing's concern.
No, observation
that access to another public street's really still quite challenged here, which is going to limit the ability for this isolated pocket of property to be effectively developed with a high intensity use.
Right, and that's kind of why I said that that A property should be combined, because they're going to have even less of an access. And if it's city owned, it's you and I paying for it. So anyway, any additional comments, commissioners, or questions of staff? We'll go ahead and open it up. This is a public hearing, so if anybody would like to come forward, we would welcome that this time. We just ask for your name and address. And no one's required. We'll go ahead and close the public hearing. Commissioners, additional information, discussion? Mr. Stanton?
Like to entertain a motion.
And we will entertain it.
As it relates to case 18-91, I move to approve the rezoning from PD to M-OF.
Thank you.
Second.
Going for a roll this evening. We have a, commissioners, we have a motion has been made by Mr. Stanton and has received its proper second by Ms. Russell. Do we have any discussion needed on this motion? I see none. Mrs. Burns, when you're ready.
Yes, my vote is yes. Ms. Lowe?
Yes.
Mr. Harder?
Yes.
Mr. McMahon?
Yes.
Mr. Stanton?
Yes.
Mr. Strodman?
Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Rushing?
Yes.
Ms. Russell?
Yes.
8-0, motion carries.
Thank you, Mrs. Burns. Our recommendation for approval will be set forward to City Council for their consideration. Moving on to case 18-90. At this time, I would ask any commissioner who has had any ex parte communication prior to this meeting related to this case 18-90, please disclose that now so all commissioners have the same information to consider on behalf of this case in front of us. I see no one. Thank you. Case 18-90 is a request by Graham Engineering on behalf of AHG LLC, LLC, seeking approval of a preliminary plat to be known as Hilltop Subdivision. The subject parcel is 10.8 acres in size and is located at the current terminus of Jenny Lane at Jenny Hill Drive. A rezoning of the property, case 18-91, is being considered concurrently with this preliminary plat. May we have staff report, please?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Real quick, before I forget, the public info meeting was held in conjunction with the rezoning case on 327, and again, the same 11 cards were mailed. Lot one, I believe I said earlier in the previous case, the site is about 10 and a half acres. Lot one will be 2.25 acres of that. It is intended to be developed with the residential care facility. Lot two will remain undeveloped at this point, although vehicular and infrastructure access will be provided. There's an extension of Jenny Lane into a turnaround with the necessary additional right-of-way dedication. Sewer and water extensions are required to serve lot two, hence the reason for a major plat, which requires this preliminary plat to be approved. Lot two is depicted as a stem lot with access via a 25-foot stem at the northern property boundary, which is shown here. And again, see the UDC generally no longer allows stem or flag lot arrangements except in instances where the proposed stem lot is to occur on previously unplatted land, which the subject site is currently unplatted survey tract, and as such, it is the stem lot is permitted in this case. The arrangement allows for vehicular access to lot two while limiting the amount of public roadway extension required, thereby reducing the amount of public roadway for the city to maintain also, which was one reason we pointed out that option. Jenny Lane and Jenny Hill Drive are already improved with all necessary sidewalks. However, additional sidewalk construction will be required adjacent to the cul-de-sac bulb that they are building. Jenny Lane is a MoDOT access road, and Jenny Hill Drive is actually a local residential street. They're not named on the CATSO major roadway plan. Again, the preliminary plat of this property is required by the code, as the subdivision of an existing lot is not consistent with the original approved preliminary plat or OP plan in this case, and will require installation of additional public infrastructure. Sewer and water main extensions are required to serve the proposed lots, and as such, the preliminary plat is considered a major replat and requires commission approval. The plat has been reviewed by staff and is found to be compliant with all subdivision regulations, and staff's recommendation is for approval of the Hilltop Subdivision preliminary plat.
Thank you, Mr. Palmer. Commissioners, questions of staff? I have a question, Mr. Palmer. Will the stem have a sidewalk?
It's the code doesn't require the private private access to have a sidewalk.
Thank you. This is a public hearing, so I'll go ahead and open it up for such public comment. Anyone that's in the audience would like to come forward tonight, and don't leave us hanging. Come on up. But anyway, you might have come forward. If not, we'll go ahead and close the public hearing. We'll close the public hearing. Commissioners? Commissioners, any discussion? Mr. Stanton.
I'd like to entertain a motion.
Entertain us.
As it relates to case 18-91, Hilltop Subdivision Rezoning, I move to approve the rezoning from PD to M-OF. I approve the preliminary plat.
Thank you.
All right, I was reading the screen over here.
That's my fault.
Never read the screen.
Second.
Russell.
Trifecta.
Trifecta this evening, yeah. Commissioners, we have received a motion by Mr. Stanton. It has received a second by Mrs. Russell. Is there any discussion needed on this motion or clarification needed? I see none. Ms. Secretary, when you're ready for roll call.
Thank you. My vote is yes. Ms. Lowe.
Yes.
Mr. Harder.
Yes.
Mr. McMahon.
Yes.
Mr. Stanton.
Yes.
Mr. Strodeman.
Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Rushing.
Yes.
Ms. Russell.
Yes.
8-0, motion carries.
Thank you, Mrs. Burns. Our recommendation for approval will be forward to City Council for their consideration. Public comments. Anyone in the public like to come forward this evening and comment? Staff comments. We can always count on staff for some comments.
Well, and here's where the comedy hour begins. All right. Your next meeting is going to be...
Start reporting.
Start writing, guys. Next meeting is going to be May 10th. We will have a regular work session, and as we discussed this evening in work session, we will be overviewing Planning Commission's recommendations on the 2019 Capital Improvement Program, and we will have another item on the agenda for discussion purposes. We'll go back and look at our minutes. There's an outstanding item the Commission wanted to discuss, and if I remember correctly, that may have been the Climate Action Study request that we have had presented to us, so that will be on for your May 10 agenda. The items on the May 10th agenda are not plenty, however, are varied, and something that we all have not seen until now. Subdivision 1 is not that odd. This is McGrary Subdivision Plat Number 3. This is a proposed development off of St. Charles Road, requesting approval to create a couple of extra lots out of here in coordination with a Board of Adjustment lot area variance that was granted for agriculturally zoned property, and I'll show you the map here in a moment. It is the public hearing items that I'd like to discuss with you just in general so you're prepared. As you are aware, we have a regulating plan for our downtown area as part of the new Unified Development Code, our mixed-use downtown zoning district. Amendments to that regulating plan are required to be processed in a similar fashion to zoning changes. There is a request that has been presented to the city staff in regards to an alley vacation on the west side of Providence Road near Central Bank of Boone County and the old Ambrosia florist shop. That segment of alley is being requested to be vacated. That alley is shown on the MDT regulating plan, and in accordance with the MDT standards, we must bring that regulating plan amendment to the Planning and Zoning Commission. Typically, as you are probably aware, you don't normally see alley vacation requests. Those are normally items that are processed by staff directly to City Council. This is going to be a little bit different. You will have an opportunity to evaluate the alley vacation request and its impacts to facilitating the overall objectives of our street network plans and redevelopment plans for the downtown area, especially this that is on the west side of Providence Road, what is referred to on the master plan or the regulating plan as Urban General West. That is the category that this property would fall in. And corresponding to that request is the actual vote on accepting the appropriate rededication of the alley. Again, per the regulations, any alley removed must be replaced. So you will have an opportunity to be able to evaluate that alley's relocation, which ostensibly will cover the same land area where the back entrance or the entrance to the Ambrosia Florist Shop was, which ties back into the alley segment that is proposed to be vacated. This is going to be a different type of report that staff will prepare. We will have some additional information, I believe, also that we will be able to share with you as it relates to council discussion on this matter at a much more, at a higher level. But the recommendations by the Planning Commission on both the vacation and the rededication are requirements of the new UDC, and you will need to be making action on that. If you choose to do neither, the recommendation would be like any other zoning request. It would be denial of the vacation and denial of the plan amendment. However, the applicant will be present to provide justification for why they believe the alley segment should be vacated. Staff will provide pros and cons associated with that vacation and any other technical issues, as we generally do in our reporting. Your map for your St. Charles Road subdivision, this is the McGreary tract, and we had approved a while back a plat that the Planning Commission had a design adjustment on for sidewalk waiver here along St. Charles Road. That sidewalk waiver was approved by City Council subject to a payment of a fee in lieu. That payment has been made. This parcel has been created. There is a parcel that is back here that was previously created on plat 1. It is being modified by plat 3 to square up the lines and be able to get a large enough lot in the back to accommodate the two homes you see here. There is a front lot that will then be being created as well. The lots themselves do not comply with the 2.5 acre minimum that is in the zoning code portion of our UDC. However, the reduction in the lot areas was authorized by the Board of Adjustment through a separate action. So this plat is generally consistent. There will be a design adjustment associated with this, and it has to deal with the creation of a stem lot less than 30 feet in width, and that's due to the recreation of the stem that is serving the existing platted lot number one. The unplatted property that's surrounding lot number one, or the lot that was created, is actually non-platted. Therefore, the creation of a stem lot is permitted, as we just discussed with Mr. Palmer's case. However, the design adjustment for less than 30 feet in the stem is what the design adjustment will also be applying to on that lot. So we will only be covering a design adjustment on the width of the stems in the A district, because it is a special district and it has a special additional width requirement. So that will be discussed and vetted with you all. And then your two projects, or the two cases that deal with the MDT plan amendment, the alley segment to be vacated here and the alley segment to be dedicated here. And we will show this in the context then of the overall regulating plan and the areas associated with each. And again, if you all recall, as we went through the approval process, Providence Road acts as really the dividing line between the Urban General West, which has a different set of design requirements associated with it, and the more intense downtown area that has its own set of design requirements as well. So we will be discussing the nuances of this case with you at your next meeting on the 10th. These are the only three items that you have. If I am correct, Ms. Russell, you will be gone for this meeting?
I'll be here.
So are there any other commissioners at this point that know if they will be gone? If not, we look forward to seeing you all at the next meeting, and we have no other comments to make tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Zinner. Commissioner comments?
Oh, wow. No, I actually do have a comment.
Ms. Lowe, it looks like. Ladies first, Ms. Lowe.
Oh, just Mr. Strumman, you had asked whether or not a sidewalk would be required on that last case, and the comment was the city would not require one. I just wanted to comment that depending on how the parcel were developed, if any public spaces or commercial spaces covered by ADA, ADA would require a sidewalk to the public street or sidewalk.
Thank you. Mr. McMahon.
Just a quick follow-up and a move, a comment. If that is the case and the 25-foot stub is the ingress and egress, it might be too narrow. If you take a sidewalk out of it, unless you dedicate it somewhere else. Anyway, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be quick. I would like to thank J2100 for being here in force. I'm sorry we weren't more entertaining. This was rather pro forma. And I really do appreciate you guys coming out. I think it's important. Also, just a note to staff, and I'll follow up with you, Mr. Zinner, later. If you don't know quickly, that's fine. I don't want to go into it. But the way Jenny Lane comes in there and isolates, makes an island of the property that we just replatted and rezoned, that really, I'm staring at it after Ms. Rushing's comments about our lot, the city lot, and their lot, their back lot is a mess. And I don't know if there's some way we can, in the future, move to change that. I'm assuming Jenny Lane went in before the new highway went in, right?
I don't know the history behind it.
I don't either. I was just staring at that going, that's a nightmare. We need to address it.
Jenny Lane came in after the 2004 rezoning, I know. So
okay, so the highway does predate it.
If it does, yeah.
Well, the layout of Jenny Lane creates almost an insoluble problem without a lot of money. But we'll approach that in no time. Thank you for your forbearance, Mr. Chairman.
Any additional comments, commissioners? If not, I would take a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Ms. Russell, we have a second.
Second.
Oh, we are adjourned. Have a good evening.